All right, this is Pure Decking show number 424 for Thursday, February the 11th. Pick a year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and your honor, for the record, I'm not a cat. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Mad Men.
Can you prove that you're not a cat?
This is the internet. I can't even prove I'm human.
Yeah, we're going to go with 1917. Good year.
Good year. Oh, my
TeamSpeak. Interesting year, at least.
Am I going robot to you guys? My TeamSpeak connection doesn't look so good.
I'm hearing you just fine.
Sound fine to me. And you're going out fine.
That's obnoxious. All right, well, I'll keep an eye on it. if not, I'll restart TeamSpeak in the middle of the show. Why not? I don't think anything else is running, sucking up bandwidth.
You're ruining me, Morps. You're ruining me, because every night when I sit back and listen to other shows have technical issues in the first 5 fucking seconds, I go, at least that's not us.
And RU is here.
I did not have sexual relations with that puppet. You can't prove it.
God, I wouldn't want to. I mean, those things have like wire and gearing and shit in there. I mean, you know, talk about things not to stick your dick in.
It's the danger.
It depends on the puppet. Some of them it's are just cloth and a hinge.
Hoping the hand is still inside, I guess, or
although the best marionette sex scene I've ever seen was in Team America World Police.
Yes.
So, if we were to create a better marionette sex scene and put it on YouTube, how quick do you think that channel would get banned?
As soon as I found it, I'd downvote that shit.
I don't think you could do a better sex scene with marionettes than done with on that one.
Well, I don't know that you could either. I was actually thinking it'd be funny as hell to list it as a better one and then just have like two, like the naked Barbie and Ken dolls just, you know, swinging on strings against each other.
I just realized the man that Gorilla glued the cup to his face is not wearing his mask in a correct manner.
That's the first thing you noticed.
But he's not taking this seriously.
For the record, only use Gorilla Glue to reattach limbs when they've fallen off due to leprosy.
That woman should not be suing Gorilla Glue. She should be suing the Chicago School Board.
What I want to see is I want to see her in court. I want to see her listing out that Gorilla Glue did not appropriately list a warning saying not to spray it in your hair. And then I want to flip to the judge. And
Gary Busey?
Gary Busey would be better. Yeah, never mind. I was going to say it's J. Jonah Jameson doing that laugh from the Spider-Man meme.
I mean, she's got a good chance if Gary Busey's the judge of getting the case to go her way. That's just me. You know, I watched the Gary Busey pet animal lawyer or fucking animal judge. Not as good as you think, but I'd watch it.
I don't know.
It's better than the impeachment trial.
When you see so much attention being brought to somebody so stupid, you kind of just want to see, I don't know, I kind of want to see somebody kick their ass. I don't know why. I want to see somebody build a machine to kick their ass. That's what I want to see. Anyways, I guess we can get into it here. Get the first story up. This one is... this one's quite... Makes me wonder. Let's put it that way. I'm not so sure about this one. This is from thetimes.co.uk. Judges rejected a bid last week. So this isn't UK court. So first and foremost. Judges restricted a bid last week to prevent evidence of messages obtained from EncroChat, an encrypted phone network, from being used in a criminal trial. In a victory for prosecutors in their fight against organized crime, The Court of Appeal ruled that communications obtained by French police by hacking into mobile phones were lawfully obtained. Defense lawyers warned that the judgment creates ambiguity over the meaning of terms used in English law and opens the door to allow evidence that would normally be excluded. Chaman Salon, a solicitor at the law firm Second Opinion Now, who styles himself as the Encro defender, says, quote, "You can understand why the Court of Appeal was reluctant to throw the evidence out, but we need to be careful that we don't jeopardize the principles of freedom and democracy that we hold dear. Here, the courts have allowed a foreign power, which won't tell you how it's done, to say that people are guilty," unquote. The case came after it emerged last summer that EncroChat, a Dutch business that developed an encrypted, secure mobile phone instant messaging service, had been infiltrated by French and Dutch authorities who shared the information they garnered with the National Crime Agency in London. The NCA said that about 10,000 criminals in Britain used EncroChat for the sole purpose of coordinating and planning their activities and described its breach as the biggest breakthrough in the fight against organized crime. Historically, under English law, the authorities could obtain intercept material via phone tapping, for example, but that information could not be used as evidence in criminal trial. That rule, which is designed to protect the methods used by security services and law enforcement agencies, contrasts with the approach in many other jurisdictions, including the Netherlands and France. However, the Investigatory Powers Act of 2016, often dubbed the Snooper's Charter, allows communications from phones and computers to be used in evidence if they are obtained by, quote, equipment interference, unquote, that is to say, hacking. Lawyers for the defendants of the EncroChat case are charged with our case argued that the messages were inadmissible because they were intercepted in real time while being transmitted. The prosecution said that the messages were admissible because they were stored on the devices and sourced by equipment interference. The authorities have not revealed their techniques, but the court explained that the French police found a way to send an implant to all EncroChat devices in the world under cover of an apparent software update. The implant caused them to transmit all the data held to the French police. Sitting in the Court of Appeal, the Lord Chief Justice, Lord Burnett of Maldon, Lord Justice Edis, and Miss Justice Whipple. I love these English names. You're never sure if they're making them up or not.
Lord Whippleball.
I mean, you know, you're sitting here reading this. It's like, these could be English judges. This could be a Monty Python sketch. I'm not certain.
Exactly.
Said that, quote, "communications were extracted directly from the handset of the user and not while they were traveling to, or from any part of the system," unquote, and crucially, therefore, that they were stored temporarily on the devices. The judges ruled the material was obtained lawfully using equipment interference rather than interception, and that there was no bar to its use as evidence in criminal proceedings. Home Office spokeswoman said, "We are pleased the court agrees that this material was properly acquired and can be used as evidence in these important cases. This ruling is consistent with our longstanding positions on using intercepted material as evidence and in keeping with how we expect material from equipment interference to be treated." Defense lawyers expressed unease at the ruling, which they claimed opened the way for the administration or the admission of new classes of intercepted evidence that the law had so far deemed inadmissible. One solicitor acting for defendants in cases involving EncroChat evidence who wanted to remain anonymous explains, quote, "The reality is that the evidence was live, and had the information been obtained in this country, it wouldn't have been admissible," unquote. Trevor Francis, a solicitor for the law firm Blackford's, suggests that while the infiltration amounted to a hack, the court made a, quote, "public policy judgment," unquote. Francis adds that reading between the lines of the court appeal is effectively saying that EncroChat system exists only for criminal purposes and that they are not going to prevent evidence being admissible where it is obtained by prosecuting authorities from such a system. Lord Carlisle of Berryview, QC, a former independent reviewer of terror laws, insists that the ruling does not change the law, but instead clarifies how encrypted material obtained from storage in another jurisdiction can be used in evidence in England and Wales. Quote, "There is a danger that the rationale of the case will be misunderstood," unquote, Carlisle said, and he suggested the government should ask the Law Commission to review its consequences. The appeal judges suggested that given the outcome, others looking to challenge EncroChat evidence, quote, "should not be surprised if the child judges deal with them rather more briskly," unquote. But Salon, who is acting in 25% of all EncroChat chases in the UK, suggests that it would be wrong to presume that there will be a rush of guilty pleas, insisting that this is just the beginning of legal challenges. So, pretty much, I go back and forth on this, right? If you've legitimately caught a bad guy, I'd rather see the bad guy punished. But
want to know how you caught him, though.
Right. And that's the thing. It sounds like the French authorities just deemed this a bad system and collected everything they could from it once they got into it. No warrants? No. I mean, this to me, what happened with EncroChat reads like a fishing expedition. Now, I don't think that's what happened. I think, if I remember the article correctly, because we covered it on Decking, they were getting into EncroChat because they knew several criminal organizations were using it, and they were trying to investigate those organizations. And as an ancillary, they've got all this other stuff.
And I have kind of a question on the law they're discussing in Britain. If I was understanding the story correctly, they can't do like a man-in-the-middle attack to get the information. But if they can hack a device that it's sitting on to get the information.
Well, again, the key word I was looking for in this article was warrant, and it was never in there. And so I don't know what the law is in Britain when it comes to wiretapping without a warrant. And I think that might be what they're talking about, where it's not admissible as evidence, but they can do it.
Well, that was with live feeds if they're intercepting it.
Right.
But this was supposedly information at rest on the devices.
So what they did, the actual hack of EncroChat, was they pushed a bad update so that everything that was in the cache would then be forwarded to this server that the French authorities were running. So technically, it was stored on the device in the temp file. I mean, you are really splitting the hair, right? Okay, no, they didn't get it from a PCAP on the network side of the house. They got it from a temp file stored in the memory of the device. I mean, from a technical standpoint, it is correct, which, as we all know, technically correct is the best kind of correct. But at the same time, it sure feels like it would be it was an interception, even though what they really did was get on the end devices and have them forward it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now I wonder if they had warrants for searching their end devices.
Well, in this case, I don't think they did. I think, getting the EncroChat stuff was probably the start of some of these investigations, right? Or and maybe not, but I guess it would depend on the individual cases, and there's not enough information in this article about the individual cases. It's just, I see what they're saying about the loophole here is because they're saying, well, the French authorities gave it to them and said, here's all this bad stuff going on in the system we got into.
So essentially admitting to Five Eyes.
Well, that's the thing, right?
They can't tell you where they got it because they're using the Five Eyes fucking laws.
That's where I'm going with it, is it's like, I see their argument that you're opening the door to, well, we can't spy on you, but we can ask the French to do it.
Just admit it. Everyone fucking knows about Five Eyes. Like, well, okay, we know. I've mentioned Five Eyes to normies, and they look at me like it's a Harry Potter fucking novel. But, just admit it. Close the court. But at least let the dude know that you got caught up in what was meant to be terrorist surveillance, but we're now not using it for that anymore because it never fucking worked for that anyway. We're just going to jack up our own citizens now using the Five Eyes program.
I forget the term for it, but there was this legal precedent where you weren't supposed to. It was like, okay, we obtained evidence on you illegally, but we didn't use that evidence. That evidence we used to start, to get us to look into you to build a case against you. And there was a way to argue that it hadn't been for the evidence you shouldn't have pulled in. You would never
fruit of the poisonous tree is the
is that what it is
legal phrase you're thinking of. And there's another one that kind of falls into this too. It's called a parallel investigation. And it's kind of it's a U.S. term, and it's meant to get around the fruit of the poisonous tree. So let's say the NSA intercepted me talking to someone in Pakistan, and they're legally allowed to eavesdrop on the Pakistan guy, but they need a warrant for me. And NSA can't act against me, so they go tell somebody in the New York Sheriff's Department, you should keep an eye on Madman. I think he might be importing bombs, but I can't prove it. And then they start watching me just because it's legal to follow me down the street somewhat until they catch me doing something illegal, like running a red light or whatever, and then use that as pretense to pull me over and look at my shit. And that's known as a parallel investigation.
Is that a defense saying that you wouldn't, but for the parallel investigation?
No, we haven't had a lot of those go to court because for some reason, they plead out to many, many lesser charges or get them to flip. So this whole could it stand up in court hasn't been really tried. But it's kind of an argument on getting around the fruit of the poisonous tree of they kicked in my door without a warrant and saw me building a bomb and then arrested me. Because they had no reason to come into my house. They had no reason to know that I was building a bomb. So all the bomb evidence is, not admissible. But I'm still trying to pull up whether or not they had warrants for the phones. Because if they had warrants for the phones, then I don't have as big a problem with how they got past the encryption. Because these guys are supposed to turn over that information anyway.
Right. And like I said, that's the key word I've been looking for in this article, and it's not there. They never talk about a warrant.
Well, I think this article is mostly focusing on whether the information is at rest or in motion, because that's the precedent that this is setting. Right now, the cops can't hack, they can't bug the lines and just watch information go over it, but they can hack into your computer to get information. So what this is, the reason the Brits might not be pushing on the warrant thing is they may have had warrants, but they didn't use the warrant the way it was supposed to. They didn't technically, in someone's opinion, hack the cell phone. They got the information in transit.
So, and here's the thing. I don't know that I have that big of an objection to the idea of a parallel investigation. Conceptually, I don't like it as a gotcha, right? I don't like any of these gotcha-style systems. But if you're doing legit, because I can see the point that you're doing legitimate work, and through the legitimate work, you happen to catch wind of something bad going on that you're not really supposed to, you're not supposed to wiretap an American without a warrant kind of thing, right? So I don't know that I have a problem with the parallel investigation thing, because ideally, you're stopping bad guys. But man, it feels like that's going to be abused all to hell. You know what I mean?
No, it probably is.
That's my point. Is, on one hand, you'd like to see the bad guys caught and thrown in jail, Saturday morning cartoon style and all. But I don't like the idea that the system can be abused and really twisted like that. And this ruling, at least in British courts, is opening the door of, this data came from somewhere else. And, it came from breach devices. Now we can use it. And again, this feels like something that could just be seriously abused, a la Five Eyes. So,
I mean, it's not the first time they've used it to jack someone.
Well, that's true, too.
Anyway.
I'm
interesting.
I'm fishing for opinions on this because I don't know where I stand on it.
Look, They don't even say what crime was committed, do they?
No. They just say organized crime.
Organized crime. Yeah, not a fan of it, but what are you going to fucking do?
I mean, like, is it a pedophile and here's a video of him hurting a child? Yeah, cut his fucking head off with a blunt instrument. I don't care.
Well,
but
does it matter with the crime? Because if you're committing a crime's a crime. So are you saying it's okay to break some procedures to nail criminal A but not criminal B because you find criminal A's behavior more offensive?
No, if I knew what the offense they were committing was, I could have a little educated guess on what they're doing to get them. Like, is it imagery of the crime? Is it GPS data points, time and date, and they're alleging you were there?
Well,
you know, what are they using to
say
you did it?
They're coordinating on a messenger app, so let's say the crime is they're coordinating a drug sale. Is that okay to break the laws of evidence to catch them, but not to catch a pedophile?
No.
Thinking crime A or B, it shouldn't matter what the crime is. It's are they breaking the laws of evidence to get you or not?
You're speaking from a systemic level, yeah.
Yeah.
No, there should be no difference on whether it's a small crime or a large crime. I just want to know how I got fucking busted. You know what I mean? If the government just comes out and goes, hey, we've deemed you guilty and we know it because, you know, GPS positioning, that's what we're going off. But I didn't have my phone with me. That's not me. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You've got to be able to build your defense somehow.
It really doesn't help that I've been reading the Gulag Archipelago. The beginning of Gulag Archipelago. And it's like, you know, where they're just arresting people for anything and everything. And, you know, anything they could use to trump up a charge. Now, Far Cry situation, I know, but that's in the back of my head as I'm thinking about this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, could the system be abused for this? Yes.
Look how they're litigating the trial of Trump at the moment. There's more anonymous sources than there are actual witnesses.
I love how much they're using, you know, a reporter said, not a witness, or, you know, people's tweets. Apparently, they got caught. They had to retract some of their evidence because
that was hilarious.
They got caught in misrepresenting what people had said. And
did
I guess
you
that photoshopped
see that senators? It was pretty sure the woman, I don't know who she was, she's standing up there and I was told by Senator so-and-so who was standing next to Senator so-and-so on the phone that Trump said go all out and destroy blah, blah, blah. They pretty much moved the camera over to the senator who was supposedly have said this to her. He's got this look on his face like, fucking what? And then 30 seconds after she finished, 30 seconds after she's finished, we'd like to retract that. Thank you. That's all they said. Because it's like, what
was
I
that
just
the clip where the guy yelled, because it was a lie or something like that?
Life. I don't know, man. I've been watching it piece by piece every now and then when
I've
catch a bit.
I've only caught clips of it.
I'm not sitting there watching it, and I'm going to be stoned and drunk while I'm fucking doing it.
It's probably more entertaining that way.
It's the only way I can get it. Because you're sitting there going, well, that's a lie. That's a lie.
So
that's a lie.
I'm going to say this on because it is politics, and I don't really want to dive into politics.
No, that's fine.
But I will say this. The point of impeachment is it's difficult to criminally prosecute somebody who's in office for a crime, especially if they're in the executive, because then you're effectively asking them to prosecute themselves. So if you're going to impeach somebody, it's because they're presently in office and you can't bring criminal charges against them. Once they're no longer in office because you've impeached them, you can now bring them into the regular criminal justice system. The fact that Trump is no longer in office, if you truly feel he incited this riot, bring a court case against him in, you know, the D.C. courts.
There's no way, because 90% of the evidence, your lawyer would be standing up going, Your Honor, that's hearsay. It can't be admitted.
Well, that's why they're doing it this way, is because they want to make a political show out of it. They don't want to actually try to bring a real criminal court against him.
All these anonymous sources. Okay, Your Honor, can we have a closed court? And we'll bring them in if they're that worried about hiding there, and we'll have that redacted. in the transcript.
Like,
no,
well, we don't actually know who they are. It's like, then it's not evidence.
That's right. It's not evidence. That's all I saw yesterday was anonymous sources stated that, you know. Anyway, as I said, it's not a politics show. Let's move on.
So that's the only point I want to make on it, that I feel like the whole point of impeachment is to get him out of office so you can then throw real criminal charges at him. And since he's not in office, there's literally no point to what they're doing. I think
it's funny that had nothing to do with what this story was in, was discussing, but we still got onto the impeachment trial. Absolutely nothing to do with the story that we're discussing.
I didn't drive it there.
CNN, I'd like a job. See, I can do the next story under climate change if you want. Like, I
have
can
a climate
a story
change
anyway
story
you want.
For you. this one's not. I do have a climate change story for you. Actually, you told me about it, and when I saw it in the link list, I'm like, okay. So I can give you credit for that BBC story if you want.
I don't remember which one it is.
The Bitcoin one?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I'll give you credit for that Bitcoin one, because you told me it was out there, and that got me thinking about it.
No, that was one of my how long before you see a headline like.
Oh, okay.
That was one of my... How long before? And it's usually in 24 hours. There's a fucking story out
there. Well,
there
you go. You're still correct.
I'm starting to think I'm blackout ghostwriting for fucking BuzzFeed at this point. And I was just walking into the kitchen. The wife, all right, I'm drunk enough. Time to go to work.
So you're not actually going. You're not doing that. You're just ranting, and your wife is then going, ooh, that's a good one, and just starts writing down.
I'm pretty sure I'm a writer for BuzzFeed. I get blackout drunk, and then weird articles I predict appear.
Well, I mean, how often do I start making a joke thinking I'm inventing something, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, here's the article on that. It's like, fuck, yeah. I was making it up.
It is that sort of life, isn't it? What interesting times we're living in.
Shit's getting weird, man. This one is from 9to5 Google, but the story's all over the place. It's unfortunately not a super uncommon issue for people to be randomly locked out of Google accounts. And in many cases, the recovery process is full of a lot of frustrating waiting. That's what's happened to the co-creator of Terraria. And as a result of the game's upcoming port to Google Stadia, the game's upcoming port to Google Stadia was canceled entirely. Do we lose Cycros? Yep, looks like Cycros fell out of the chat. Oh, well. I guess we can read the IRC. I haven't read out the IRC yet. We got myself, Sardonic, Cyber Dystopia, Cyber Lard, DP View, Madman, Striker 26, that's a new one, and the Coffee Maker. And Cycros was there. I guess he timed out. The imminent arrival of Terraria was first spotted last week as the game passed through Peggy, but it was never officially announced. Presumably, the launch was set to be included in one of Google's upcoming This Week on Stadia posts. Whatever the case, that's now no longer happening. Andrew Spinks, the co-creator of Terraria, announced the decision on Twitter to start off the week. He explains that his personal Google account has been locked out for about 3 weeks now, leaving Spinks unable to access his Gmail account of 15 years, thousands of dollars in Google Play apps and movie purchases, his Google Drive data. The trouble starts with YouTube when the Terraria YouTube channel was locked. Spinks claimed that he has done, quote, nothing to violate, unquote, Google's terms of service, leading to the decision to pull Terraria from Stadia entirely. The project has been canceled, and Spinks further said that his company will no longer support any of Google's platforms going forward, saying that doing business with Google is a liability, and they have some pictures of the tweets. So, and Cycros made it back.
I mean, if you're going to burn a bridge, he's done it well.
Well, from his point of view, they burned him first because they've locked him out of his account for a month for no reason. Some of the other reading I was doing on this, because I keep expecting somebody at Google to be panicking and unlocking his account now, but apparently not. What's happened is, first they locked out his YouTube account, but they hadn't posted anything on the Terraria YouTube account for like a month. And then he gets an email saying that it's not a strike, it's just a warning, so don't worry about it. So they didn't, because they apparently wasn't a video reference. They like had no idea what the message was about. It's just that they had gotten a community strike or something like that. And then like the next day, their entire Google account is just locked. And parts of that are related to the running of their company for that makes Terraria, and then parts of it is obviously his personal stuff. So first and foremost, one, you should usually separate your company accounts from your personal accounts. Sorry, dude. I mean, it still sucks to be locked out of your account for long term, but if you're going to run company accounts on Google, you should make dedicated accounts for the company. Just a little bit of... And also, too, imagine all the crap you have tied to your main email account, all like your Steam account, all of this other stuff, and suddenly no longer getting the emails from that. Might be a good idea to diversify and have a few different email addresses set up and spread your accounts out a little bit, just in case. Because he says he doesn't even know why they locked his account. But apparently, if you dig into it a little bit, there's been several people who've been developing on Stadia that said the Google account they use with Stadia has gotten randomly locked. So maybe there's a bug or something with the Stadia backend. But so for weeks, he's been trying to get somebody at Google to look at it, including their contact for Stadia, and just they can't get anybody to unlock his account. And they don't know why. So I kind of don't blame him. So,
a system that you're asking people to actively develop for then has a bug that locks them out of your system. That is terrible development.
I mean, to the point that, you know, this company says they want nothing more to do with Google. So as an update from yesterday, it looks like, or day before yesterday, I should say, folks over at Stadia Source got in touch with the studio behind Terraria to get more context on the situation, as well as to confirm the co-creator's tweets. In a lengthy statement below, the studio confirms that the Stadia port of Terraria, as well as future projects from the company, will not be launched on Google platforms. But the current version of the game available on Android is not being pulled. Earlier today, our CEO, Andrew Spinks, issued a statement in regards to our ongoing issues, in regards to his Google account, DemiLogic. We have taken time to review public and media commentary in order to ascertain whether any confusion or any areas of confusion. We have provided the following in order. So the Google or the Android / Google Play versions of Terraria will not be affected. Punishing existing customers who paid for the game on these platforms is not what they are about. To be clear, there shall be no impact whatsoever to Terraria on Google platforms, both existing purchase games as well as ongoing store availability. So they're not going to yank it from the Google stores, but I wonder if they're going to update it at all.
Probably not.
Comments around the future availability of ReLogic games on Google platforms is in regards to anything not currently available. This is inclusive of any future versions of Terraria, such as Stadia, as well as any other games that our studio will develop in the future. The impact here not isolated to Mr. Spink's personal affairs, apps, etc., though to be clear, there are many and substantial as well. Owing to the early days of the company, when Mr. Spinks was the sole employee of the company, there are quite a few legacy connections to the DemiLogic account that have been severed. This is inclusive of the ReLogic YouTube account, many important documents stored in Google Drive, and much more. The impact is material in nature, and this has been made clear to Google repeatedly. So they've actually got a timeline they listed out here. DemiLogic account receives a notice from YouTube alleging a violation in mid-late January. This was confusing because they had not uploaded in 3 months. No one in their fan base had noticed any new content. So they were asking people, did something go up on the channel, making maybe like the account got hacked or something.
Oh, I wonder if someone left some comments that Google didn't like.
Well, apparently they're doing that now.
I know because that was a complaint with one of the shows I listen to live every now and then. They were getting bombed every time they went live. Instant 1,000 complaints, even though they hadn't, the intro song hadn't even finished there.
They
hadn't had a chance
to say anything yet, and they were
exactly. And they got pwned for it and kicked off 1 month off channel, and then they came back and they said, just, you know, to the actual owners of the website, just watch your traffic. This isn't real. These people are just doing this to me because of who I am. And I just watched the traffic. Happened again, dude. thousand complaints before the intro song had even finished. So, yeah, they're actively doing this stuff. So I wonder if they he said something back. This could be way back, man. They could have been combing through his old Twitter or whatever, and some little butthurt community decided to go just shit all over the YouTube comments because they do that now. Because they know it's a very effective tool. I'm betting that's what's happened.
Well, that sounds plausible because they can't figure it out. They have no idea what happened. So, because the notice they got from YouTube was that we know that you may not have realized this was a violation of policies. We're not applying a strike to your channel. We have removed the content. And further, no action or response was requested or suggested in the email. So, since that time, the efforts on Twitter to support team at YouTube, they've been informed that their ReLogic channel is clean and has no issues. So they got a hold of YouTube's support, and YouTube support told them their channel was fine. They have not informed of any real details behind the actual transgression that is alleged. 3 days later, the entire DemiLogic and Cloud account, including of Gmail, Google Play apps, Drive, and all of the Google services, is disabled. Multiple appeals through the standard channels are met with an automated rejection absent of any further information. Many avenues were attempted with Google in private to resolve the matter, as well beyond what many people have observed on Twitter, or what people may have observed on Twitter a few weeks ago. Information has been sparse and difficult to obtain, even with them being a long-standard partner. Even in the face of strong evidence that this is a mistaken action, evidence that has been in hand for nearly 2 weeks, this remains unresolved. It's not a position we take gladly or lightly. Google has been a longtime partner, but the inability to resolve this for a supposedly valued partner within a time span of nearing a month is not acceptable. Additionally, we are aware of many other incidents in a similar vein with a repeating pattern of ban out of the blue with no information of the reason or recourse. This has happened to countless individuals as well as developers for Android and beyond. We hope the situation resolves, blah, 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 blah. So, apparently, and they at the end of it here, they say, for those within Google that did their best to assist with no avail, we are appreciative of their efforts. So, yeah, apparently they did get a hold of people in Google, and the people they got a hold of in Google couldn't fix it.
They just weren't high enough up in Google to fix it. What happens? Well, they didn't know that this dude was someone that the internet may write a story on. The only reason this guy's getting his shit back is because he developed Terraria.
They haven't, as far as I've seen, they haven't unbanned his account yet.
Okay.
I checked on that earlier today because I knew I wanted to talk about this on Decking, and I was fully expecting to see that, with all the fervor, somebody would have gone in and unlocked his account. Nope.
Cold, man. It's cold.
So,
Google, the equal opportunity fuck you over company.
So here's the thing. I'm not going to say not to use Google services because I know how hard that is, especially if you have Android devices. I am going to say don't put all of your stuff in one account. Because if you're going to do a YouTube channel or you're going to do anything that's going to have some public exposure, there's a risk that that account's going to get banned for no damn reason at all. Like R, you just said, maybe some troll army decides that they take offense to something you said on YouTube or the way you look or the fact that you're successful and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're going after people for that now. There were apparently some Twitter outrage mobs over people having running successful Kickstarters for comic books or something like that. And it's just like, and they look into it and it's people who've ran Kickstarters that failed. So apparently it's just flat out because they're jealous that somebody else's Kickstarter did well. So now they're trying to get them canceled.
And it's been happening for about the last 3 months, my man.
That is bullshit.
Yeah, it is. So you should separate your personal and your public or your company accounts. Now, I would recommend diversifying platforms as well. So maybe don't keep all of your email in a Gmail. Don't keep everything in one Gmail account. Maybe set up, another email service, Proton Mail or something privacy focused, or even just Yahoo, just so you're on two different systems. Or if you're really going to go down that route, do like an Office 365 and pay for it. Because if you're paying for it, now you're in a whole different class of system rather than, you know, being a free user on a Gmail account.
And I know this doesn't hurt the Terraria guy much because he's making money off the sale of Terraria. But if you're a YouTuber, instead of having that as your only platform, use that as a funnel. Get people interested in your stuff on YouTube, but direct them to your own site.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk about this was more about the operational security of you shouldn't have everything in one account. Now, it sounds like this guy, you know, small development shop, originally was just him, you know, or him and a few other people working on it. So, yeah, it makes sense they would have grown out of his personal account. But pretty much the moment you're hiring people, like you have more than one employee, you should start looking at ways of moving your stuff out so it's not dependent on one account. Because, and yeah, if you're going to have a YouTube account, it should be a separate account. It should not be your main account or linked to your main account. Simply because you don't know what is going to trigger somebody and get the account banned, rightly or wrongly. And, you know, when I was checking to see if Google had unbanned his account yet, because I kind of figured with all the noise, somebody would have, right? Just to make the noise go away. But he still he's got a picture of his phone showing, you know, your account is not allowed, so he can't get to all of his apps. You know, he was complaining about, I guess he had just bought some Lord of the Rings game on his phone, and he's not going to get to play it because, you know, they banned him right after he bought it.
Oh, fuck you. And with this, not only is he losing the stuff for Terraria, everything he bought on Google Play is gone, isn't it?
That's what he was complaining about, that it's thousands of dollars of apps and movies and, media that he's now out, and he doesn't even know why.
You don't own your stuff anymore.
You don't own your stuff anymore.
You're borrowing it. You're paying to borrow it.
Yep.
And if you look into it, go and read up. This, you know, this is why I was really pissed at Facebook for what they did with Oculus, where you can't use it unless you link it to your Facebook account. Well, what if I go on Facebook and post the wrong meme? Or my Facebook account gets hacked and somebody posts the wrong meme, so I didn't even do it.
Well, now I read today.
Anything I bought on Oculus, gone. Sorry, fuck you. It's a $400 paperweight.
I read Snapchat. We're going to start banning people for private messages now.
No, for God's sake.
So
yeah.
They don't want you to say anything on here, man. They want this the most sterile place in the world.
But it's just any of these companies, right? Microsoft. What if Microsoft, you know, will ban you on Xbox, on your, you know, everything you bought on, like if you have an Xbox and you've been buying games and now Microsoft bans you and you lose access to all this stuff because of something said online.
Well, Azulas
give them the right to do it, if you look into them, by the way.
That's perfectly fine, but they're forgetting the one thing. These monkeys are very fucking creative. The harder you make the task, the harder they work at it. You're not doing shit by banning people. All you're doing is pushing them into a more closed ranks way. I think we're going to go back to news groups. Or, you know, they're like the Clubhouse. Sorry, you can't join our shit unless you're invited. And if you get, and if one member who's in here decides you're out with everyone. That's the way I see the internet fracturing.
Well, I just see it as an excuse that if you want to use these services and they have to be tied, and you have things, hardware and things you've purchased that have to be tied to accounts, don't link them together. Make multiple accounts. You know, if you want to do a YouTube channel, make a new account, put the YouTube on that. Do not link it to your existing Gmail. Make a new account and don't link them together. You know, if you're going to do stuff on Facebook and you've got a game console that has to be hooked into Facebook, separate accounts. Don't link them together. You know, you're going to do Microsoft stuff, separate accounts, because, you know, if your Microsoft account tied to your Xbox account gets banned because you trash talked a 13-year-old on Xbox Live playing Halo or whatever. You want to explain that to your boss the next day, why you can't get into your company email because you trash talked a 13-year-old?
Yeah.
Or somebody accused you of trash talking the 13-year-old? I mean, you know, you don't even have to do it. Now you just need enough, you know, enough bots to say you did it. Like you were talking about with that YouTube channel, that the moment he goes live, 1,000 complaints.
So, oh, this dude wishes he was on YouTube, man. He got kicked from YouTube 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what I mean.
This motherfucker bounces from one site to the other. Just, he's there for a couple of months, banned. There for a couple of months, banned. And you know what? He just takes tens of thousands of people with him to new apps constantly to test trial stuff. He's probably one of the biggest app testers out there now by doing their show. I think they're currently on Trivolo, if that's a thing. That's what you call it. But they got banned from there for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. And then they went back to BitChute, I think. Well, they might have still been banned from BitChute. DLive, yeah. Went back to... You know, I can't keep up, man.
Yeah, I can't either.
I just hit up their Twitter every night to find out where they're going to be. Like... We'll be going live here. What the fuck is this place? You know, so you have to go navigate a new one.
It's like, this is a Russian VPN hosting. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. It's getting fucking weird out there, man. Like, some people are being pushed to a long way out. But you know what? The crowd go with them. If they're good enough, the crowd will follow. So that's one saving thing. And it drives their fucking haters mad. Because they're just successful. Yep. They're just constantly successful.
Hey, that's something I like about what we've set up for G15 is it's not tied to anything. And we all use synonyms for a reason. It's just not dealing with this bullshit.
Yeah. I'd hate to deal with it. You know, but they love it. They really enjoy the drama and the bullshit that goes with it. I wouldn't want it in my life. That's why I watch it happen in their life. I mean, well,
it's wisdom to learn from your mistakes. It's genius to learn from somebody else's mistakes.
It must be worth enough money to them to be doing it. That's all I can say. I wouldn't want to do this constantly.
That or they've got enough. You know, they derive enough personal fulfillment from pissing off the people who hate them to keep doing it.
Oh, I think it's that and their merch store. They just make enough to where it is giving them a comfortable living and more, and that they can just keep giving the middle finger.
So, yeah, I'm going to advocate multiple accounts. I don't, you know, multiple systems, multiple accounts, and on the accounts that you are investing money in for your apps and your media, those accounts don't say stuff publicly. Just don't even deal with that shit. You know what I mean? Madman, you got anything?
That is so sad that you can't discuss things without fear of losing hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars worth of media.
Okay, Madman. Just think about this for a minute. Let's say you went on a website and said something mildly conservative, and they banned your Steam account for it. How much? I mean, think how much you'd be out if your Steam account got banned.
Oh, I'm fucked, yeah. Dude. That'd be a rough one. That's why I'm worried that Steam might go back and retroactively go through private IMs and start banning people for that, because just the jokes me and Fox fucking sent to each other alone has got us fucked for life.
I mean, I sent you all the stuff on Amazon to build a small radioactive bomb.
Dude, I know. Like, what? We're fucked. If Gabe goes rogue, and ends up SJW.
It won't be Gabe. It'd be some other company coming and buying Steam, and then because you, I mean, you hear about people trying to brigade on Steam all the time, and it never happens. But I'm using Steam as an example because for our group, I know it's a good example. But there are people who spend that kind of money in Google Play on games, apps, and movies that we spend on Steam.
Yeah.
Or the iOS app stores, too. Same thing. And now, with Oculus, Facebook has an app store. And before it was Facebook, I'd bought a few games on the Oculus store. And, you know, I mean, I'm not doing that anymore. Now that it's tied to a Facebook account, it's like, I'm not putting any more money in this.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming at some point, because I'm not active enough on Facebook, it'll stop working. Or that, or it'll start auto-posting to my Facebook account whenever I launch a game so it's active, or some other bullshit. So now it's like, okay, do I really want to use this headset that's tied to a Facebook account, I don't know, to get on VR chat and risk somebody saying something stupid and Facebook losing their shit?
Fucking VR chat's a minefield to start with.
Oh, yeah. So now, luckily, the Oculus I have, I can put it into a slave mode and use it as a PC headset. So that's how it's going to get used from now on. I'm going to use that feature so that it just at that point becomes a Steam headset. But, you know, I'm not buying the new one. I'm not buying anything else in the Oculus store. And it's not because I have a massive hatred of Facebook. It's because it's tied to an account that has a public persona. And yeah. I don't necessarily want to deal with all the PR bullshit that these companies do when it comes to, oh, well, you've been identified as the wrong political party or having said something offensive at some point in the past.
Or, and what's happened is you've been on the feed of somebody that said something offensive.
Oh, yeah. That's how that
is. I'm less annoyed if I get banned for shit I say. I'd be really pissed if I got banned for shit someone else said and I was just talking to them. Because I don't have a problem talking with communists or Marxists. I used to do it more often than I do now, but I still talk to them. I mean, if you only know your side of an argument on any issue, then you only know half the argument. If you're really religious, you should talk to atheists and hear their arguments. If you're an atheist, find a knowledgeable theist and discuss that shit if you enjoy it.
That would be great, man, but usually they're the one who's going to flag me for something. I can handle all the shit coming out of their mouth. They just can't handle it when it comes out of mine. That's the problem.
Madman's referring to in-person conversations.
Oh, in-person conversations? Yeah. I like, dude, that's what a punch in the face is for. Like, shit gets too bad.
As long as the bike locks don't come out.
Exactly.
I just used to have these conversations with cigars and scotch, and it was great.
I'd love to sit down in person with someone and discuss.
In the before times when we were allowed out of our homes, and the welding torches weren't used to keep us inside.
Fuck. Yeah, finally.
You guys want to talk about this water plant getting breached?
Oh, please tell me they were on the internet and you could just pull up and see boiler and just change the temperature settings.
Oh, worse than that. It was a water treatment plant and somebody got into it and they tried to set it to put unsafe amounts of chemicals in the water.
Oh, they were going to poison a city.
They were going to pull the Joker. They were going to poison the water.
The fail safes are good enough that it alerted.
And so,
I mean,
yeah,
it's not a great story.
How they got into it. It wasn't great breach in the old water supply system. It wasn't some hack. It was a dumbass using a really shitty password on an unsecured TeamViewer installation. The Florida water treatment facility, whose computer systems unexpectedly experienced a potentially hazardous computer breach last week, was used an unsupported version of Windows with no firewall and shared the same TeamViewer password among its employees. government officials have reported. So not only was it a bad password, it was a shared password, which means at some point, somewhere, someone wrote that password down on a post-it note, stuck that post-it note on the bottom of their keyboard, and forgot their computer was a laptop and went to an airport.
There you go.
Next time you're in an airport, which I realize is going to be, you know, 3 to 5 years.
If ever.
Yeah, if ever. If you're ever allowed in there without full hazmat and DCOM and government checklists. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Walking into the airport and they just pull out the nightstick. Really? you know, look and see how many stickers you see on those laptops with things that look like passwords. Because here's a hint. It's a lot of them.
Yep.
Yeah, or DP View, the much more likely, or just got fired. on a computer, the computer intrusion happened last Friday in Oldsmar, Florida, a city of about 15,000. That's roughly 15 miles north of Tampa. After gaining remote access to a computer that controlled equipment on the inside the Oldsmar water treatment plant, the unknown intruder increased the amount of sodium hydroxide, a caustic chemical better known as lye, by a factor of 100. The tampering could have caused severe sickness or death had it not been for safeguards the city has in place. According to an advisory from the state of Massachusetts, employees with the Oldsmar facility used a computer running Windows 7 to remotely access plant controls known as SCADA, short for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition System. What's more, the computer had no firewall installed and used a password that was shared among employees for remotely logging into the city systems with the TeamViewer application. Massachusetts officials wrote the unidentified actors accessed the water treatment plant's SCADA controls via remote access software TeamViewer, which was installed on one of several computers that the water treatment plant personnel used to conduct system status checks and to respond to alarms or other issues that arose during water treatment process. All computers used by water treatment personnel were connected to the SCADA system and used the 32-bit version of Windows 7. Furthermore, all computers shared the same password for remote access and appeared to be connected directly to the internet without any type of firewall protection. But SCADA security is a joke. Oh, yeah, no, you never connect a SCADA system directly to the internet or the control system of a SCADA system. You can do a one-way feed. Like, okay, I've got a machine that's connected that I can use to see what's happening on the system, but making changes? No, you require somebody in person to do that shit on an air-gapped system, because most of your SCADA control software is years out of date because they don't keep it up to date with modern operating systems and things like that because it is expensive to get it certified. So, DPView, so many of them have open HMI to the web. Oh, God. They're putting them directly on the... Oh, man. Well, get on show, Dan. Have some fun. private industry notification published by the FBI provided a similar assessment. It said the cyber actors likely accessed the system by exploiting cybersecurity weaknesses, including poor password security on an outdated Windows 7 system to compromise software used to remotely manage the water treatment. The actor also likely used the desktop sharing software TeamViewer to gain unauthorized access to the system. Employees in Oldsmar's water treatment department and city managers didn't immediately respond to phone messages seeking comment. Of course they didn't. The revelations illustrate the lack of security rigor found inside many critical infrastructure environments. In January, Microsoft ended support for Windows 7. Okay, whether they were still supporting it or not, you want to bet these machines weren't getting patched. You want to bet they just went in and turned Windows Update off?
I'm not going to take that bet. Windows Update breaks enough stuff for certain businesses that I can see them turning it off.
A lot of vendors, especially for shit like SCADA, would tell you to turn it off.
Well, look at me this morning. Fucking update and everything goes to shit.
Yeah. A move that ended security updates for the operating system. Windows 7 also provides fewer security protections than Windows 10. The lack of a firewall and a password that was the same for each employee are also signs the department's security regimen wasn't as tight as it could have been.
Oh, shit.
Hail! Lord of the understatement. The breach occurred around 1:30 p.m. when an employee watched the mouse on his city computer moving on its own as an unknown party remotely accessed the interface that controlled the water treatment process. The person on the other end of the changed the amount of lye added to the water from about 100 parts per million to 11,100 parts per million. Lye is used in small amounts to adjust drinking water alkalinity and remove metals and other contaminants. In large doses, lye will dissolve you.
Yes, it will.
The chemical is a health hazard. No shit. In large doses, lye will dissolve your aluminum cookery.
You want to have a bet they didn't know where they were and they were just pushing numbers around?
Potentially. Or they weren't sure if it was a real system. But there's a lot of people who do that. They scan the internet for open access to things like that. And
yeah.
They just start, what is this? I don't know what this is. Here's a button. Sure.
Yeah. That's what makes me think, yeah.
Christopher Krebs, former head of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, reportedly told the House of Representatives Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday that the breach was very likely the work of a disgruntled employee. Well, it's possible, too. City officials said residents were never in any danger because the change was quickly detected and reversed. Even if the change hadn't been detected, the officials said treatment plant personnel have redundancies in place to catch dangerous conditions before water is delivered to homes and businesses. The TeamViewer password was reported earlier, or the shared TeamViewer. Okay, so they're saying the Associated Press shared that there was a shared password on TeamViewer. That's what they're acknowledging. At first, I thought they meant they published the password. It's like, fuck, they probably haven't changed it yet. But I don't know about those security systems. I know how these things go. I think you're lucky somebody was watching it going, hey, why is the system working itself? Oh, that reminds me of a funny story. I think it's been long enough I can tell this one. I was going to school, and in the evenings, you know, going to college, and I was running some private servers for my friend group at the time. Madman was there in that group, the private WoW server I used to run out of my house.
Oh, yeah, the nothing.
Yeah, and, you know, I had finished up my schoolwork, so I was using, it wasn't TeamViewer, it was Hamachi. And then remote desktop.
Damn, that's going back.
Mm-hmm. It tells you how long.
Hamachi.
So I used Hamachi to get into my main desktop, and then used remote desktop to get into my secondary server, which was a Windows box. And I was working on my server at home for that private WoW server I was working on. And my mom went into my bedroom, you know, I was living with my parents at the time, and saw two of my computers working themselves. So she goes and gets my dad. My dad goes, he's being hacked, and unplugs everything in the house.
Oh, God damn it.
So, you know, I just lose my connection. And so when we get to a break in the class, I call home. Like, did we lose power or something? What do you mean? Well, I was remoted into my computers and just got kicked out. And then I find out what had happened.
I mean, kudos to the old man for looking out for you.
He was. He thought he was helping.
Yeah. But didn't know what else to do. Just shut the breakers down on the house. Went back to living in darkness for a while.
He unplugged everything in that room. He then went into his office and unplugged his computer and everything in the fucking
room. I mean, it's the only way to be sure.
Oh, it's great. I love the man. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, damn it. It's like, it's fine. It's no worries. No big deal. Just reminds me I need to turn the monitors off when I leave. yeah, but he did. He unplugged everything in that.
Can't even be mad at that point.
I wasn't mad. I was laughing too hard. But yeah, apparently it was the full-on redneck. He's being hacked!
Get the guns.
They always joke
the Gibson They hacked the Gibson.
My parents always hack and joked that they would know exactly what a hack looks like because they saw me do it so often. It's like, yeah, but it's to my own machines. I used to keep all the old computers I could get my hands on, and well, they were punching bags.
Yeah.
I ran a home lab.
They were there for. Yeah, that's what they were. Home labs were fun. I miss my old.
And now you can virtualize all of it, but it's kind of, you just don't get that. Yeah,
but it's
same...
not as much fun as having five machines all fucking linked together, and you know, seeing if you can fuck them all up at the same time.
Especially when they're like all different, right? You know, they're not all the same, just cloned machine over and over again. It's like, no, that one's the old Pentium 1, and then that one's, you know, a Pentium 2 and another Pentium 2 and some old laptop you scraped up from somewhere, so they're all slightly different. Those were the days.
I threw it a half a skip bin full of computers.
I need to throw a bunch of computers away before I move. Oh, yeah, this summer they're probably going to take a month or so off of decking because I'm going to be moving. So, just fair warning. Anyways, let's do this boing boing story. Cops are playing copyrighted music to stop videos of them from being posted online.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I think you told me about this one too, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, that one, I read the story.
Okay, then yeah. I'll give you credit for this one then.
Life will find a way.
On several occasions, cops have started playing popular music when they realize they're being filmed. The odd behavior has a point. They hope that the copyright strikes algorithm on YouTube, Instagram, and other social media sites will prevent the video from being posted and shared. The latest example comes courtesy of Sergeant Bill Fair, Beverly Hills PD, who only succeeded in Streisand affecting himself with a blast of Sublime's Santeria. Instagram's enforcement. Okay. Yeah, Instagram's enforcement of their own policy seems to be unpredictable and inconsistent, so it's hard to tell what the algorithm will catch during a live stream. Been plenty of high-profile incidents of DJs and artists being penalized for playing their own songs. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not much to the story, but it is funny that the cops are starting to play music so that when you try to post a video of them online, the algorithms say no.
I mean, life will find a way. It's, I mean, you can't keep pushing people. They will find a way.
I can see on their iPhones when they're walking up to your car to give you your speeding ticket. Playing Bad Boys or something.
Oh, God.
I just need to be stuck to the cops theme song. Either that or I shot the sheriff.
Probably
no,
not that
ideas.
One.
They don't want to give you ideas.
Dude, give them that one.
I could just see him playing Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up just because that one's going to be easy. And you know, it's like you're already getting pulled over. I might as well kick you in the balls while I'm at it, right?
Let's do a Rick roll.
I think we should replace all sirens with Baby Shark.
Oh, fuck you.
That's just, I mean...
cruel and unusual punishment.
Can we get an envoy out to the Geneva Convention? I think that's a violation.
That already has landed to sheriff's deputies in hot water. Remember they played Baby Shark for 48 hours straight to prisoners?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Losing, yeah, because it was deemed cruel and unusual.
Well, I mean, that's an interrogation tactic to not let you sleep and play terrible music. And
that's a Guantanamo Bay tactic, man.
Yes, it is.
Also, Hanoi Hilton, been around since speakers were invented.
Yeah.
Could be worse. I could just be sitting there playing the brown note for a while. So, and finally, the last article I have for this week is from the BBC. Bitcoin consumes more electricity than Argentina.
As in my Bitcoin or all the Bitcoins?
All Bitcoin.
Bitcoin uses more electricity annually than the whole of Argentina. I can't speak. Analysis by Cambridge University suggests mining for the cryptocurrency is power hungry, involving heavy computer calculations to verify transactions. Cambridge researchers say it consumes around 121.36 terawatt hours a year. I was really hoping that was going to turn into a Back to the Future joke, but it didn't. When I saw the 121.
Yeah.
We need gigawatts. We need more power.
And is unlikely to fall unless the value of the currency slumps. Critics say electric car firm Tesla's decision to invest heavily in Bitcoin undermines its environmental image. I doubt
what?
That. That's just, well, that's just we hate Elon Musk right now because he's, you know, fucking with people and laughing at them. The currency's value hit a record of $48,000 this week.
Well, it's currently $61,321 Australian dollar.
Give me a second here.
It's me. That'll be 51 for you, 52?
47 and a half, according to Coinbase.
47?
I did go in and, you know, since it's like, oh shit, these are worth something now. I did go in and move all my Bitcoin out of Coinbase into a hardware wallet, which those are interesting, by the way, if you don't know how they work. I'm not going to get into it right now, but they're worth looking into. So anyways, but yeah, just as a side note, if you have Bitcoin and you don't control your keys, move it into something you control your keys. Because with the currency going up that high, all you need is the right players dumping out to bankrupt an exchange or a service like a Coinbase or something like that. So, just saying.
Which is why Elon bought so much. He's going to set up his own exchange if he's planning to use this as a currency.
Well, yeah, he wants you to be able to buy a Tesla with Bitcoin, which I don't blame him. I mean, with the value of it shooting up, there's going to be a new round of Bitcoin millionaires who,
But also, too, like, it's been proven now definitively you cannot trust the banking system if you are a thought criminal.
Well, I mean, GameStop kind of proved that. You know, when all the services stopped letting you trade in GameStop because they didn't like what was happening.
This is how I know where we're headed is fucking terrible place. No one cared. No one cared and the world kept going.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying one of the most trusted institutions is corrupt as fuck and you're not willing to do anything about it. Good. Okay. The whole fucking system needs to be wiped out. I'm not an anarchist. I'm not a communist. Either we fucking hang every one of them up there right now or in Minecraft. But you can see where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
It's just fucking changing the chairs around on these boards and shit isn't going to do shit at this point.
So you're advocating the Fight Club solution?
Pretty much, man. I've had enough. Like, people go, they never figure out whether I'm left or right. I'm not. I'm just anti-institution. I fucking hate it. I've always hated it.
I'm not left or right. I'm just tired.
Yeah, I'm fucking dead. Dude, I thought that would be the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, because all the mom and dad investors out there got their 401ks just in a roulette machine. It's all it is. Oh, I'm going to get fucking... Yeah, you know, if I was on any other platform calling it a casino is a thought crime. It's not a casino. It's a highly regulated bullshit. You just proved it. All right, man. I'll
tell you
really
how bad things are getting. You keep really saying thought crime, and I keep thinking, what, did one of those Instagram girls knock over a convenience store or something?
Well, you're going to have to once the IRS wants their tax. Just remember, tax time, ladies. You got to pay up.
The currency's value hit a record of... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to make a crass joke, but moving right along.
Well, we can do that here in a minute. Currency value hit a record of $48,000 this week. Following Tesla's announcement, it had bought about $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin and planned to accept it as payment in the future. The rising price offers even more incentive to Bitcoin miners to run more and more machines. As the price increases, so does the energy consumption, according to Michael Roche, a researcher at the Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance, who co-created the online tool that generates the estimates. I think you might be a bit... anyways, it's really by design that Bitcoin consumes that much electricity, Mr. Roche told BBC's Tech Tint podcast. This is not something that will change in the future unless Bitcoin's price is going to go significantly down. No. Okay. When they designed Bitcoin, it wasn't even a consideration how much electricity it was going to use. It was designed to get more and more complex over time so that you wouldn't have a major leap of technology suddenly invalidate the currency. It was not designed to suck up electricity like that because it wasn't even a consideration how much power these servers used. I can tell you, having worked with developers, they don't care when they're writing their code how much power the server uses. All they care is does it meet the requirements.
What does it do? How well does it do it? Is it functional?
What Elon is doing could actually stabilize the price of Bitcoin. The reason it's so volatile is it's speculative.
It's a commodity.
There's no one use. It's not just that it's a commodity. Do you see wheat going up this much, or coal, or iron? Those are all commodities.
No, but those also have a real use.
Yeah, the reason Bitcoin is so volatile is that it's speculative. If Elon sets up an actual exchange and starts using it as a currency rather than just a bond you can speculate over, the price is going to stabilize because people are actually going to start buying and selling using Bitcoin. And that's only if he's successful in setting up an exchange and actually using it as currency rather than lottery tickets.
Well, I think eventually when it settles out, it will be used as a currency transfer tool where I'll normally still work in dollars normally, but if I wanted to send Madman $1,000 for services rendered, a loan, he's purchased something from me, whatever, you know, for whatever reason I'm sending you money, it would be that I would purchase enough Bitcoin to send that to you, send you the Bitcoin, then you would convert it back into whatever your desired, you know, whether it's dollars or maybe you're overseas and you want it in euros. I mean, I think that's what it's eventually going to be, is it's going to be a universal currency transference method. It's not going to be a currency in its own right.
Well, it's going to replace the dollar. That's what the dollar is right now. If you do international business, you do it in dollars, and then whenever you're doing local transactions, you convert it to your local currency.
Yeah.
Bitcoin will be taking that function, and then in developed countries, it may just be a currency.
And it's a lot easier to take $1 million of Bitcoin across state lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't know what that little hardware wallet actually is.
Exactly.
It says it's my security fob. Oh, okay. It's true. It's what it is. But
how long before they go, sir, you're going to need to plug your device into that AI over there before we can let you through, just to make sure you're not carrying fucking some sort of code or...
So you're going to start seeing people hiding devices in their shoes. It's like, yep, here's the phone. I let them search.
Ghost in the Shell style, man. Can't let you leave the country with that information.
Yeah. That's why my USB thumb drive looks like an ink pen.
I saw you could... The other day on Amazon, I stumbled across... I almost ordered them until I realized I had no use for that many. They had a pack of 30 of the little USB drives, but they were just the card. Like... So a lot of times when you see USB drives today, it's a little circuit board that's got the USB contacts on it and then a housing around it, and that's how they get them so small.
Yeah.
Because half your memory chip is in the port, you know, these days. It was just that without the housing. It was just the boards.
And that was cool.
You could order them in various sizes. So the idea, I'm sure the idea was you could put whatever housing you wanted on these things. But I'm sitting there going, that would be cool. I could order those and I could 3D print housing. Then it's like, I have no need for 30 16 gig flash drives right now. So I didn't, but I was just thinking that would be the thing is those, because they don't have a lot of metal in them and you could hide them in other things. So then it's just going to start being Johnny Mnemonic style, where you got to hide things in other people's heads. The online tool has ranked Bitcoin electricity consumption above Argentina, the Netherlands, and the United Arab Emirates. That's surprising. I figured UAE would use more power than that.
Well, I think this story is loaded with horseshit.
Yeah, and it's gradually keeping up on Norway. The energy it uses could power all kettles used in the UK for 27 years, it said. Okay, that is a bullshit comparison right there.
Yeah.
One, kettles have gotten pretty damn efficient recently. Well, over the past couple of years, I should say. And, you know, water kettles are pretty efficient these days. And, you know, waste heat in a kettle? No, I don't think so. And two, that's a bullshit comparison. How long could it run the flat screens? Because that's what I'd care about. Come on. Also suggests the amount of electricity consumed every year by always-on but inactive home devices in the U.S. could power the entire Bitcoin network for a year. Sure, why not? In order to mine Bitcoin, computers, often specialized ones, are connected to the cryptocurrency network. I need my dramatic sound. They have the job of verifying transactions made by people who send or receive Bitcoin. This process involves solving puzzles, which, while not integral to verifying movements of the currency, provide a hurdle to ensure no one fraudulently edits the global record of all transactions. As a reward, miners occasionally receive a small amount of Bitcoin and was often likened to a lottery. Okay, wow, that is so not how that works. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah, it's a fucking great article, that one. That author is just out there. They're an author, not a journalist at this point, because they are making up one hell of a fucking story.
For the record, yes, you are solving a cryptographic puzzle in that you're trying to reach an arbitrary solution to a cryptographic hash, and that's called proof of work. That's showing that you're actually contributing the computing power, and that's arbitrarily increasing in difficulty so that only so many coins are mined. And it's not a lottery. It's the first computer to solve the puzzle gets the reward of Bitcoins, which last I looked was down to 7.8 Bitcoins per solution. And usually they go into mining pools these days, so whatever percentage of the solve then gets divided out among everyone in the pool who's contributed, and you can get into various formulas and things like that for running these pools. But it's not a lottery. A lottery is random chance. There's some randomness in that your computer is guessing answers to the solution, but it's not a lottery. To increase profits, people often connect large numbers of miners to the network, even full warehouses of them. That uses a lot of electricity because the computers are more or less constantly working to complete the puzzles. The University of Cambridge tool models the economic lifetime of the world's Bitcoin miners and assumes that all Bitcoin mining machines worldwide are working with various efficiencies. Using average electricity price per kilowatt, which is, you know, a half cent, I'm sorry, I read that wrong, which is a nickel, kilowatt hour, and the energy demands of the Bitcoin network, it is then possible to estimate how much electricity is being consumed at any one time. But Bitcoin is literally anti-efficient. David Gerald, author of The Attack of the 50-Foot Blockchain, explained. So more efficient mining hardware won't help. It'll just be competing against other more efficient mining hardware. That's true. Because the moment there's a breakthrough in it, everyone switches to the new hotness because you have to. As a good example, when ASIC mining became a thing, GPU mining stopped because there was no point anymore because the difficulty increased to the point that the GPU mining couldn't keep up with it. For Bitcoin, you can still do GPU mining for other coins. They don't even address the whole altcoin thing in here. This means that Bitcoin's energy use and hence its CO2 production only spirals outward. It's a very bad thing that all this energy is literally wasted in a lottery. The price of Bitcoin rose rapidly on Monday after Tesla announced its investment. But commenters say the investment clashes with the electric car firm's previous environmental stance. Elon Musk has thrown away a lot of Tesla's good work promoting energy transition, Mr. Gerald said. This is very bad. I don't know how he can walk this back effectively.
Doesn't have to.
Nobody thought of
He's
this.
He's a fucking businessman.
No, nobody was talking about this. You're literally pulling this out of your butt. Tesla got $1.5 billion in environmental subsidies in 2020 funded by the taxpayer. Turns out it turned around and spent $1.5 billion on Bitcoin, which is mostly mined with electricity from coal. Fucker, what do you think people charge electric cars with?
Electricity from coal.
I mean, come on. I am aware that other forms of energy production are starting to come up. We have a lot of hydro, a little bit of nuclear. We're starting to see wind and solar making a contribution. Not saying that that's, you know, that coal's the only one, but it's still the majority. Come on. Carbon tax on cryptocurrencies could be introduced to balance out some of the negative consumption.
For fucks.
There it is.
You're right. Nuclear should be the main road.
Yeah,
exactly, madman.
Correct.
Especially the salt-cooled nuclear reactors. Have you looked into those? They're fucking amazing.
Between those and breeder reactors, I mean, it's like it shouldn't even be a question. These things, I mean, that would solve it right there. But you know, people are still scared of the stuff from the '60s. So whatever. But, I mean, yeah, the whole energy use of Bitcoin thing is such a joke because, yes, you do have mining operations, and the mining operations do use a fair bit of electricity, but so does any other data center. And, oh, my God, you have so many things that are just sitting there solving puzzles all day. Okay, they're generating income or they wouldn't be doing it. Literally, when you still call for a carbon tax on... When I read this article, the whole point in reading that article, besides the bullshit and the fact that you predicted it, are you, was at the very end of the line is they want a carbon tax on Bitcoin, i.e. they see a pile of money and they want their cut.
Yep.
That's what it
all
is.
Oh, it was.
Madman, you got anything? Or otherwise, I'm going to hit the gong.
Hit the gong. Yo!
Hadouken! I forgot there's not a gong in that anymore. One of the Digital Dojo hits had a gong in it, so I don't...
One of the Digital Dojo hits had us making Asian sounds.
That's very true.
Yeah, I'm not going to say we were speaking languages. We were making Asian sounds.
Bad martial art. We were making fun of old kung fu movies. Come on. Anyways, so
Mopson, I want to use you in class, but you can be less racist. I love that, man.
Last thing I have for tonight, or the only thing I have for tonight in Digital Dojo, is a collection of scripts called Evil FTP. This is cool. So, Evil FTP is a set of scripts implementing some attacks against overly trusting FTP clients to expend our capabilities when exploiting server-side request forgery issues. A malicious FTP server is hosted by the scripts, and all it takes to run the attack is to have a client interact with the FTP server, i.e. download a file, list contents of the directory, whatever. Even though the prerequisites are simple, it's often not very common in practice to have an attacker with the capability of directing a client to interacting with an FTP server. Sure it is. It's called phishing. Amongst the few cases where this is possible, within the context of web browsers, since contents of a page can be controlled by the attacker and may contain references to resources hosted by FTP server. Another interesting case is we are dealing with an SSRF issue, which is also the primary target of Evil FTP. With Evil FTP in a given SSRF, one could reasonably get reliable TCP scanning, service banner detection, and private IP disclosure. So pretty much... this is a series of scripts that runs a fake FTP server. You then induce people connect to the FTP server. You then use that FTP that connection to get information about the person's network who connects to you. Specifically, if you were to combine this with something like, say, the Social Engineering Toolkit or any other decent phishing campaign, A lot of web browsers still support the FTP calls. I know some were pulling it out, and we complained about that when they did it. But, yeah, you could totally send somebody something or, you know, do
the... Look here for your free iPad.
Or, you know, hey, we're doing a beta of this great new game, you know, Cyberpunk 2078, you know, the fixed version. You'll have to go to this FTP server to download it. Or your internal, this is from your internal HR office to see the current pay scale for the company. Make it look like you accidentally sent it to the wrong person kind of thing, right? And there's all kinds of ways you could induce somebody to connect to an FTP server. You'd be like, oh, they use this secret system. If you've forgotten how to connect, use this software. You know, there you go. And then you just tell them to use an FTP client you know is vulnerable, and boom, you've got that reverse connection. Banner services, port scanning, IP disclosure. I thought it was very interesting because you don't see, you don't see this kind of stuff anymore from, you know, this is an old school attack, but like, apparently, like, the Java Oracle FTP client connects to all this. Yeah, they've got a few others on here that work. Apparently, IE and Edge works with the IP disclosure. Curl will give you port scanning. So there are ways you could potentially get somebody to connect to this stuff. The Java one's the one that what bothers me the most because businesses still use that kind of crap. So it wouldn't even be that odd to see somebody connect to it if you sent out the kind of like a massive phishing campaign. So if you're on the defense side, maybe consider blocking FTP at the firewall. There's very few reasons to use, you know, bare blind FTP these days. Usually you're going to be using something secured or something over an HTTP call. Just saying. But I thought it was cool. So, anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, in the IRC tonight. I think we've already read it out, but myself, Sardonic, Cyber Dystopia, Cyber Lord, Psychros, DPView, Madman, Striker 26, and the Coffee Maker. Madman, closing thoughts.
I wonder if the Cappuccino Maker is going to join the Coffee Maker anytime.
I don't know.
Other things that don't need to be on the internet.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, man, you're right. You do not need to connect your coffee maker to the internet. And I need to get some more fucking sleep. I'm sick of ghostwriting for fucking Vice all night.
All right. That's all we have. Hey, you guys got an hour and a half show again. Damn it. And I was light on stories, too. I specifically kept it short, thinking, okay, we're going to get an hour show tonight. Nope, hour and a half. Fuck. Going hitchhiking on 15F with rain. Yeah, good luck. But yeah, no, we should do a show next week. I don't know why we wouldn't. Yeah. No, I was talking about that's going to be like this summer. We're probably going to take a break this summer because I'm going to be moving, and you know how it is when you move and you know your internet connection and all that shit. So no, that's not for a few months.
Yeah, not camping. We had an ice storm. I decided to go get groceries and there was a quarter inch of ice all over my car.
They canceled all the schools here because of a threat of an ice storm, and it wasn't even that bad. So although they were worried about it freezing up tonight or in the evening, so I guess they didn't want to risk kids being trapped at schools during COVID with an ice storm. whatever. Anyways, sound effects.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Thompson goes down and call tonight.
Shut up, Wesley.